Pray together. Our Father and our God, we are so thankful to you again this morning for the blessings of life. So thankful, Father, for guiding and directing each of us in the pathway called life. So thankful for strength on those days that it seems like we can't go another day. We don't even want to sometimes. So thankful for your Spirit who helps us moment by moment, day by day. So thankful for your Word that we can dig into and read and enjoy and learn from. So thankful this morning, Heavenly Father, for your Son. So thankful to you, Jesus. And we are in love with you this morning, Lord Jesus. I pray that's our heart's desire, that everyone would be in love with Jesus. And so, Father, we have come together this morning again to worship you on this beautiful September morning. We have come together this morning knowing full well that some are hurting today. I think of the Wetterling family that just, well, now we'll finally be able to bring some closure. But we pray for them today, as well as the family that lost the little 5-year-old girl in our community just 2 weeks ago. We pray for them today. And all the rest that have lost their children and loved ones, we ask that you would comfort them today. And all those that are sick and hurting and lonely, we ask God in heaven, heal, encourage, strengthen. For those that are just plain sick, cancers and back surgeries and all kinds of things, Father, we commit them to you and ask for your help, your guidance. And we would be neglecting those around us if we didn't pray for those that may not know you yet. And so we pray this morning, Father, whether they're sitting in a church or never go to church, if they haven't been born again, if they haven't surrendered completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that they would do that today. And so, Father, we're just a simple group of people that have gathered here today because we want to worship you. But we've gathered here to do that, but we also want to hear from you. And so I thank you for each and every one that's here. I pray that you would speak to our ears by your Spirit. Help us to learn a little bit more today, be reminded and be encouraged. And I pray for the other churches, the other pastors, Father, guide and direct them by your Spirit. May your will be done everywhere. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. If you have taken a moment to look into your bulletin and you have seen this morning's topic, it's entitled, Where Was God Then? You're probably wondering, what does that mean? Here's where I'm coming from today. Just 2 weeks ago on this morning, we gathered together, and many of us gathered together knowing full well we had just learned of the tragic, senseless death of a 5-year-old right here in our community. And so we came 2 weeks ago this morning heavy-hearted, wondering about life, wondering about the tragedies, wondering why. And yesterday we learned via the information network, the remains of Jacob Wetterling have been found, missing for 27 years. And so there's all these tragedies that happen around us and difficulties that happen in our lives, in yours and mine too. But anyway, throughout the last 2 weeks, There's been a whole lot of comments about the little girl that was lost in our community just 2 weeks ago. Lots of things posted online. Many of the comments were from broken hearts like ours 2 weeks ago, heavy hearts like ours, but many of them were from also, and perhaps most of the comments I saw online were from vindictive hearts. But it was a comment of a friend of mine that I've known my whole life, who would quantify himself as a non-believer. It's that comment that has not left my mind for these last 2 weeks, and I have reason in my heart to address that question that he asked today. And I realize, I told you a couple of weeks ago that we're going to look at the parables of Jesus, and we are, but not yet today. And I realize it's the first Sunday of the month, and normally we would have communion, but I also was thinking that what God is putting on my heart today to answer this question, I can't get done in 10 minutes, so we're not going to do communion today either, so you're going to have to forgive me for that. The comment that was made from that friend of mine who doesn't see things like I see it, doesn't see God like I see, doesn't see a need for God, maybe even figures there isn't one, his comment was simply this: where was God when that 5-year-old was being abused and murdered? And so I'm going to address this today for several reasons. One, there's been plenty of times in your life and mine when we have thought the same question. If we are honest with each other, there have been times in our lives when we have cried out, "Where are you, God?" There has also been plenty of tragedy and difficulty. And it happens in a lot of ways. It's happened to some of you. It's happening to some of you, and it will happen to some of us. And so for these reasons and this one and one more, when really ugly things happen and tragedy hits your house, where are we, followers of Jesus, where are we going to be with that? What are we going to do about that? So for these reasons, I want to address this question today. And I will get to the answer, but I'm going to look at Scripture in the meantime. So if you've got your Bible, turn to John chapter 11. This is a story that I know that you know. You've probably read it 100 times like I have. But when I was reading it this last week, or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, it's like God was speaking to me about the death of this little girl and many other tragedies around here. As I read this scripture again, it's like God was speaking to me and bringing realization to my mind again who He is and where He is. And so here's a story. I'm going to just skip over it because I think you know the story of the death of Lazarus. And I'm just going to bring out some highlights throughout this story that I think are relevant for today. John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, that's Jesus, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." You see, he wasn't in their immediate proximity. He was a couple of days away. And so they sent a messenger and said to him, "Lord, he whom you love is sick." And when Jesus heard that, verse 4 says, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Death. That the Son of God may be glorified through this tragedy. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. It is at this point, as I was reading this the other morning, The Lord began to speak to me because we have questions. At this point, we start asking as we read this scripture, where is God when I need Him most? You see, that's what the sisters, Martha and Mary, were saying. Our brother is sick and we need him now. We need him today. And yet scripture says he loved them, and when he heard that he, Lazarus, was sick, he stayed there 2 more days. And it's at times like this, when our prayers are not being answered, or at least we don't think they are, at least we don't see the answer, it's at times when like these, when our prayers are not seemingly being answered, that Jesus intentionally stayed away to allow the death to happen. Why? For God to be glorified in the end. It's at times like these when we've made our request to God and they made their request to Jesus, seemingly these requests are not being addressed. Martha and Mary had specifically sent for Jesus with urgency, help us. And isn't it interesting when we read, he gets the SOS. He gets the reply, he gets the message, urgent, he's sick, come quickly. And it says he loved them and stayed 2 more days. When Jesus heard from them, verse 4 said, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, death happens. He's going to die. Lazarus is going to die. We're going to see the story. Sometimes death happens, and in this story, it's for the glory of God. And I say to us, I suggest to us today, friends, we don't have all the answers at the whys to these tragedies. We don't have all the answers of what happens in life. We're never going to have all the answers. And just because we don't have all the answers to these tragedies and these sicknesses does not mean that God has not heard you. He stayed 2 more days when he heard from the sisters that Lazarus was sick. And just because we don't see immediate answers to our prayers or to our petitions or to our requests, it does not mean that God has not heard you. It does not mean that God is not involved. We don't always see what he sees. We don't know what he knows. We don't understand what he understands. And just because we did not get the answer that we wanted, at that day they didn't get the answer they wanted. And just because we don't doesn't mean that God is not deeply involved in the situation someplace. We don't see or know the mind of God. We don't see the bigger picture. And hear me now for a second, because I believe this is true for me. I believe it's true for all of us. And as long as we don't see or know the mind of God, we assume he's not involved. That is a wrong assumption. It was a wrong assumption in this story, and it's a wrong assumption in most stories. Just because we don't see him run to our aid and answer specifically like we want it now does not mean he's not involved. Verse 20. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And verse 32. Mary, That was Martha. Now it's Mary's turn. Verse 32, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him the same thing exactly. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And we find ourselves in this very same frame of mind that the sisters were in that day, saying in our hearts, if we're honest with ourselves, why didn't you answer me? We find ourselves even crying out in our desperate situations, don't you care? We find ourselves just like the sisters that day, crying out to God, where were you when I needed you most? That's what they're asking. That's what they're saying when they said, Lord, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. They didn't see him working behind the scenes, and neither do we. And so we have these questions, where is God when that happened? We don't see his involvement behind the scenes yesterday or tomorrow or next week. And so in our flesh we're hurting. We need you, Lord, and you weren't here. We felt the same way. Jesus answered and said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then he took away the stone. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now the Bible says in verse 43, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did believed in him. You say, yeah, but Jim, he got raised from the dead. Jacob didn't. The little five-year-old didn't. And Lazarus died again too. But it's the behind-the-scenes working that Jesus was doing in these situations that we are unaware of. But there will come a point that God, who sees these tragedies and hurts just like we hurt, will bring good somewhere, sometime, somehow. He will bring good when the enemy tries to derail and defeat and defuse. God will come along and pick up and patch up and try and bring good about these horrible situations. And brothers and sisters, our obligation is to trust him when it doesn't seem to make sense. Our faith requires us to keep trusting him when it hurts. Remember what Hebrews 11 and 1 says, when the Bible says, faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, but the evidence of things we don't see. That's what faith is. Hanging on when we haven't seen the answer or it didn't come like we wanted it. We do not see what God sees. We do not know what God knows. We do not even get to vote on what he's doing. I could tell you stories all day long about how God has brought good from tragic situations. I could tell you stories all day long. The man I ministered to in jail after he had taken the life of the three-year-old. Or the men that had cancer and told me specifically as I sat in their living room, Jim, I would have never come to Christ without cancer. God is behind the scenes working to redeem and to save and to bring people to glory with him. I can tell you a little story about Matt and Linda and Cynthia Beebe's relative, who is in a bad world. Drugs and gangs and murder and mayhem. And this young lady and her husband or boyfriend, whatever it was at the time, had a little girl. They called her Vanessa. And it was quickly discovered that Vanessa had a brain tumor. Parents weren't exactly Jesus followers. Drugs, crime, gangs, murder. But some in the family, some in Matt and Linda and Cynthia Beebe's family, began to pray for little Vanessa and her mother. And the brain tumor didn't take her life, at least right away. But at 7, the brain tumor came back and Vanessa died at 7 years old. Her parents were not believers. As a matter of fact, her dad was in prison for murder. But as the family was praying about this tragic loss of this little girl, her mother, Vanessa's mother, come to know Jesus, was born again. And now Vanessa's mother is praying for Vanessa's father, former gangbanger, in prison for murder, that he too will be born again. You see, that's the kind of angles that God works. He comes in behind, picking up the messes to redeem, to save, to heal, and to restore. In John 9, there's a couple of verses that I want to point to. I'm still working up to the answer. Don't fall asleep on me because I'm going to get to the answer. In John 9, Jesus was passing by with his disciples. They saw a man that had been blind ever since he was born. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? That he was born blind." Now, I want us to think about that for a moment. Because they assumed, because this person, born as a little precious baby, blind, living through his kid years, teenage years, and into adulthood, he was blind. And so they assumed, because he was blind from birth, somebody sinned against God. Somebody messed up somewhere. I simply want to say about that we too are forever making wrong assumptions about God. Where was he when she died? Where was he when he was abducted? Where was he when we have leukemia and cancers and every other manner of mayhem? We forever make the wrong assumptions that he's not involved. Here was his reply. Neither one, this man, nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. He sees a bigger picture. Oh, how I wish that the sickening and tragic and senseless death of children were not so. How I wish they were not so. The devil, Jesus said, came to kill, steal, and destroy. And the devil and his followers are to blame for the madness that we see. Just read Job and see that he can't take life. He does take life and cause harm, physical harm. We have an enemy that is real. And the devil is to blame for this madness that we find ourselves in the 21st century. His modus operandi is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he's all about. And when he does that, if we allow these tragedies, if we allow these circumstances to make us mad at God and blame Him and say like the people of our community have said, if that's how He is, I don't need Him, then the enemy sits back and says, mission accomplished. I can't tell you how many sessions I've had with God over my Catherine. I've had a few questions. But I will not blame God. I will not allow the devil to drive a wedge between me and God. My family and I will trust the living God in spite of our circumstances. And I will continue to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Followers of Jesus, we cannot let the devil, in the tragedy that he throws at humanity, derail our faith in the living God. We cannot allow the tragedies and the hurt and the seemingly hell on earth that happens around us to drive us away from God and say, if that's how He is, I don't need Him. Because I have heard people say that. I have heard people say, if that's how He is, I don't need Him. And the enemy sits back and says, mission accomplished. David said in Psalm 13:1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long are you going to hide your face from me? He was crying out and saying, in essence, as we have said, do you care? Are you available? Where are you when these things happen? David had questions 3,000 years ago. God understands our broken hearts when tragedies happen. God understands. Because of the Garden of Eden and the freedom He gave people to choose, He understands that murder entered in, and abuse and ugliness, all because of the choice in the Garden of Eden. He understands all that better than we do. I'm just suggesting to us today, friends, we need to trust Him when it hurts. We need to trust Him when it doesn't make sense. And we need to trust Him even when the questions come into our minds, where was God then? I'll tell you where He was. When we're going through our personal crises, He was and is and always will be in His rightful place on the throne in heaven. Unchanged, still compassionate, still forgiving, still loving, still leading, still hurting that sin ever entered into humanity, still working behind the scenes in spite of what we see, He's still at work. And He's still inviting people to come to Him. Even though the devil wants us to say, if that's how He is, I don't need Him. Why didn't He step in? Why didn't He intervene in a different way, we ask ourselves? Maybe He's intervened and we didn't see it, just like Martha and Mary.
Maybe he's got a bigger plan.
All I know is Jesus said this. In the world, he said to his disciples, in the world you will have tribulation. But he said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so as we get to Amazing Grace, my heart breaks over the loss of these children. And I have questions. I have questions over the adults that lose their lives senselessly, like Don's daughter. And I have questions about the tragedies that you go through. But I won't blame God because I don't know all the answers. I will cling to Him in faith. I will trust Him. And pray that when little five-year-olds' lives get snuffed out, that somehow God will bring good from that tragedy. That somehow God will bring good from the Jacob Wetterling tragedy. That somehow He will bring good like He brought to Lazarus that day. When they said, if you'd have been here, you wouldn't have died. When we say, if you'd have heard me, if you'd have answered, somehow I'll keep trusting and believing. He's still got a plan and He's still on the throne. Amen. If you're struggling today, friends, like I have struggled, like my buddy at Leader who struggles, says, where was he when that happened? All I can say to is surrender. Surrender completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and He'll show you. He'll show you His love, His compassion. He'll show you His goodness. Let's bow our heads, friends, for prayer. And let me just say this, if you're here today and you haven't surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, please do it today. Completely surrender to Him. Father, forgive me, forgive us. We got some questions from time to time. We feel a little like Martha and Mary from time to time. It says, if you'd have been here. And yet you've been here all along. Bringing good from tragedy. Strengthening and encouraging when we're weakest. And so forgive us, Lord, for those days that we felt like Martha and Mary. Help us to navigate the waters of life. Sometimes they're turbulent. Trusting. Trusting. Even when we didn't see the answer, help us to trust. And for those like my buddy, doesn't have any time for you, just uses this kind of an excuse to blame and to say there is no God. May He know you. May He experience salvation through Jesus. And so bring good, Father, from these tragedies that have hit so close to home. We know You're at work because we know You're not willing that any should perish. And so, Father, as we go from this place today, help us to be encouraged and strengthened and reminded, you are on the throne, where you deserve to be and always will be. Help us to be encouraged by the words that says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have not changed. And so when we go through these valleys of the shadow of death, help us, Lord. Help us to say like David, I will fear no evil because you're still with me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.